Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
According to Hollywood insiders, 3D movies are out and earlobe filler is in. The Real House Husbands of New Jersey are making news from fights to deportation rumors. Cher preps her Broadway show, and we're talking the life of a comedian with Sean Polofsky right here. Let the ranting begin. I am joined by comedian, actress, and superhero to the gaze, as I'm told, Sean Polofsky. Welcome to the rants.
Thank you. I'm in the flesh in my tights and cape.
You're in the middle of West Hollywood right now. Prime time.
That's right. I just forgot my nut hugger, so you're welcome.
Thank you. Welcome to the rants. I'm excited to have you. I mean, you came from Mark J. Freeman as a recommendation. He's been on the show a bunch, and I love Mark.
I love Lorraine, love.
Right? Mm-hmm. Lorraine, yeah. So I was like, okay, let's try to have you on for the 100th. But this worked out, because I know you'll be out of town for the 100th episode.
I know. I'm sorry about that, Grant.
I'm happy to have you on. We made it work.
I know.
It's all that I care. So here you are.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Let's talk about some Hollywood talk first. Before we get into some what these idiots are doing in New Jersey and all this, let's look at a few things. So IMAX, they put out an article in Page Six. The IMAX CEO says people are over 3D movies and that now they're back to 2D movies. I personally can't watch anything in 3D. I mean, it's an instant headache and nausea. It's the worst thing to watch a movie, to have to put on glasses.
I swear, I'm Jewish just listening to you. Okay. I love listening to you complain about this because I have the same complaints. I will not, my whole family, none of us can watch anything in 3D. It sudden headache. It makes me sick. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. Even like, and I'm a big, like I love sci-fi superhero movies. And people love seeing those in 3D. I cannot. And when my husband and I go to the movies, I swear, we may be the only two people in that tiny little theater in like Century City where everyone else went to go see something in IMAX or 3D. And I don't care if I'm in the theater with 40 seats. If it's in 3D, I can't do it.
There's this whole thing with 3D TV. And could you imagine sitting on a couch having to find 3D glasses and trying to rest like your arm?
No, but people do. People have those. I mean, you have a lot of time on your hands.
Yeah. I Googled. I said, are these like really selling?
And
yeah. You can get them at Best Buy.
People know where to find them. I can barely like make an appointment for a mammogram and people are out there getting their 3D glasses. So God bless if you have that time and that's what you like to do. But for me, and they're more expensive. I think it's more expensive too for the 3D movies. Am I correct on that? I don't even care. I just like that. Yeah. I couldn't understand how that was a thing. And I thought maybe my brother, my sisters and I were the only ones that got the headache. And now that I'm hearing you, I feel relieved. So.
No, it's the same way. And it's the same thing with like 3D rides. Like I don't want to say certain places, but if you go on these rides and you have to put on those 3D goggles, forget, I can tell you right now, like when I see that, I don't do it. Like I close my eyes and I just I meditate for that portion of the ride. I mean, it's terrible, you know, but
you're meditating at Magic Mountain on the roller coaster of death. I love that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. More like a Universal Studios. I gotta be careful with that one. But yeah, no, it's tough with those glasses, and I couldn't care less. I almost dreaded to hear that it was a thing. Like, you know, 5 years ago, I said, this is the future. And I said, oh no, well, that's it for me watching anything.
I'm so glad they'll take those out. It's annoying. And I didn't understand how every movie is coming out. And I mean, if they do Schindler's List in 3D, then I'm done.
Oh God. Well, if you do want to watch the glasses, you'll have to go to China or Russia, because those are the only places left using the old 3D glasses.
Well, they don't mind keeping their people down there in those countries, do they?
No, look, they're always a couple minutes behind.
Yeah.
This article, I don't know if you read this article, but it was all over the place. And there were mentions of all different things. And apparently Hillary Clinton's people went to go see a movie and someone took a picture with a dinosaur. Like, this article was a complete mess. And in the article, it said that now watching in IMAX, it's like being in first class, where if you just watch a traditional movie, you're just in second class. And, you know, these people, everyone has to talk about keeping people down, you know?
Right. Well, my first class usually comes with a bottle of champagne, so I don't remember my IMAX movies providing that. And even though they do have those type of services now in movie theaters, I feel like it's too much. It's too much surround sound. And And you know what? I hate to be an alarmist, but I will be. I like to keep my eyes open for crazy people at all times. And I've been like that for 20 years. And people make fun of me and they're like, Sean, you're too paranoid. You're too this. I like to watch the door. I like to see what's going on around me because I think people are crazy.
One never knows.
So how can you do that in an IMAX? It's too much going on.
I can't even tell you the last time I went to an IMAX. I don't know. There was one that opened up in Providence where I grew up at the Providence Place Mall, and I'm sure it's still there. And that was like the big, like of the whole year, that was the news that was opening. Uh-huh. When the date was going to be announced for the first film, what was playing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, they made such a big deal about that.
Yeah.
I think I saw like one like National Geographic, like, you know, like a giraffe or whatever for like 45 minutes. I don't think I've been back since. I think I was probably like 11.
Well, I mean, technology is so crazy today. I mean, basically, couldn't they design something where the actors could actually physically be there themselves, but be in a different place? Like, you know, like we're going to do this, then just do the holograms. Like, I feel like we're a little bit behind the times. Like IMAX, Schmimax, like let's get to it.
I like, see, real Hollywood talk here.
Exactly. There you go. You're welcome, Hollywood.
We're changing the industry standard.
That's
right
it.
Here. Well, talking about changes, plastic surgery is back in the news. A dermatologist in Beverly Hills, Dr. Lancer. I can't keep track of all
Can
these.
Can you give me his number?
Oh, this is the thing. They say, oh, he does Kim Kardashian. Now, if you look up anybody else, everyone's done Kim Kardashian.
And I have to, I'm going to stop you right there, Grant, because the guy I go to also did the Kardashians. And not only, he doesn't just say it, he has it on video on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. So he's the real deal.
He's really doing it.
Yes, he did. Doesn't take care of them anymore.
Well, apparently they go to a team of specialists because this is like the ninth doctor that I've heard that they've gone to. Who cares? This article says according to this dermatologist, people wanting distortion of their rear end is in the last death throes.
I just can't imagine anybody wanting to work on their rear end. Listen, I was already born with one. Yeah. I'm not happy with. It's not going anywhere. I've tried. It's exhausting. And to think about paying money, I mean, I look at myself and I'm like, there's so many things I could do. And it's like, my ass is like my last worry. It's just, I can't, it's not going anywhere. I mean, I'll say kudos to my ass. It's what got me my Brazilian husband. Again, thank you. But I will tell you that it is, I don't understand people insuring their asses, but it is a thing. I mean, men.
So it's off the list for you.
Yeah, I could never care about that. I'm more concerned of my face falling off because I'm over 30. So you heard that here. I mean, many people don't even believe that, but it's true. It's happened.
This whole quote about so dramatic is in the last death throes. I mean. Can't you just say it's kind of not in vogue right now? It's so dramatic.
Yeah. It's LA, so you got to set it up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's one way to say it's out. The new thing now are these cleavage lines, wrinkles around the pendant line. This is a big concern for women in plunging gowns and all this.
Oh, you mean like the décolletage?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's a problem. That's like they have yet to figure, because if you look at like the Real Housewives, you look at a lot of people, their faces are all held together. But you can tell by the chicken fucking necks that this is a problem.
Yeah.
And I can, I get it. I can see that happening. And I look at, I'm very conscious of that. I will look at my face and like, I come from a family of good skin, but there is an upkeep and I believe in plastic surgery 1,000%.
I've always been an advocate for it.
I'm about it, but you got to have the right person and you got to not be crazy with your duck lips. You can't go crazy, but that seems to be a thing.
Another thing that people are going for is this earlobe filler. And I guess it's to correct the jewelry placement. I looked this up. I said, well, what exactly is this procedure? And so all before and after pictures are a little earring stud that's facing down by like a couple degrees. And then it's back facing straight ahead after.
Who cares? Boy, people have a lot of time on their hands and money.
Yeah.
I am like, am I doing everything wrong that I don't know about right. earlobe filler?
Earlobe filler, really. Now that for me is the last thing on my list. The direction of my earlobes.
Yeah, you're right. That's pretty menial. Yeah.
The last thing on here is that this really got me. They want to bring the tip of the nose up with a little bit of Botox.
Well, good luck with mine. You're going to need a miracle worker. Going to have to bring Helen Keller in and her teacher. Like, that is never... I couldn't even imagine a little Botox. I mean, I was just at my doctor's office, and I can't imagine him looking at me like, you know what will fix that giant nose, Sean? A little bit of Botox. Like...
Sean, tell me about it. This nose someone took a photo the other day of a room that we were doing a project in. I wasn't in the picture, but my nose was. I said, that's my nose in the corner of the
terrible.
Screen.
Terrible. When I had a wedding in Brazil, and my husband's wife had set me up to go to a makeup artist. Cut to, he lives in this very small kind of, I mean, it's a big city, but it's very third world. And I don't know why I was thinking maybe we'd pop off at a Sephora or somewhere. There's nothing like that. We pull up to this farmhouse, a chicken runs out, and they bring me inside. The whole family's in the living room. I think the grandma is like dying. Pretty much the grandma's on the couch dying. I'm like, grandma's dying. The whole family's in there. I'm like, grandma's terminally ill and I'm having a problem with this. What makeup am I getting done in this house? And this like 18-year-old girl, Brazilian model, steps out to do my makeup. And I thought, okay, so we go to her back, you know, bedroom, okay, and it has like Menudo posters and things on it. And I'm like, And she goes, okay, lie down. And next thing I know, we're on like a dental chair. First of all, you never should get your makeup doing lying down, but I had to trust the situation. And plus there was a language barrier. So my husband was like, she's saying lie down. I'm like, lay down. But the force of gravity, but my face. So I laid down and I will never forget. She tried to contour my nose for like 20 minutes. And I wanted just to grab her hand. If she had understood me and said, honey, listen, I'm Jewish. It's never going to change. You could sit here for hours. This isn't Drag Race. Nothing's going to happen. It's not going to get smaller.
You're in a dentist chair in Brazil getting
chickens,
your makeup done.
Grandma's terminally ill on the couch in the other room. But I was pleasantly surprised. I was thinking I was going to, you know, sit up and look like Bozo the Clown, and she did a good job. So,
well,
kudos to Larissa. Kudos.
All right, let's take a look at what's going on in the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
I love it. Let's get to it.
How do you feel about this show, first of all? I think it's run its course.
I think it jumped the shark about two seasons ago. I feel like when they lost Jacqueline, that was a big problem. Because Jacqueline's kind of this shit show. She's a pot stirrer.
Yeah.
And you think she's all calm and stuff, and then she's got the kid with autism, and then she goes to the roof about shit real fast, and you don't know who you're getting.
Yeah.
In its first couple of seasons, that was the best Housewives of them all. When they first aired.
Yeah.
Oh my God. When Teresa flipped the table, I love to make that reference. Every day of my life, I'm like, I'm like, you're lucky I didn't flip a table like Teresa Giudice, or is it Giudice, or what is her last name? What is it?
Who knows?
Giudice, Giudice.
I'm back to saying Giudice. I'm just back to it because I have come full circle.
Because I've heard it said three different ways.
Yeah, Giudice was one of them.
Oh, yeah, like, Giudice. That's another one.
Yeah.
I know. So this is going to be like Teresa Smith. And I'm like, but it says Giudice. But yeah, I mean, those were the classic. They didn't give a shit. And they were violent, and it was fun to watch.
Yeah. Well, the fighting is back. You might be interested to know. Last weekend, they filmed the finale of the finale party. You know, everyone's going to find an excuse to go to someone's backyard for something. And there was a fight that broke out between Margaret and Danielle's husbands. So apparently, there was screaming, violent threats. Both husbands fought each other. One of them was thrown into a pool.
Nah.
I
love it.
I like the
fact
that
they're fighting over who's an older hag. First of all, Margaret's 1,000. I don't even understand her. She's so hard to look at, and I don't want to be judgmental, but I will. Okay.
And you're in the right place for this.
I don't even know what business she's running. What does she do? Does she do shoes? Does she does cases? She's got that crazy mom with the stupid pigtails. You know, they're like the Walking Dead in pigtails. That's what that's they would be like, where they're walking and then they talk real fast and they're this. I mean, I can't. I don't like her. I can't even believe they added her, because I was like, she just, I don't know. She's not easy to look at. And she's just annoying.
I like her on the show because I'm just desperate to find a reason to watch. I can't stand the rest of them. So
just,
for me, she's some
of
new face.
The best part of that show are those terrible children that Teresa has. Those entitled brats. That's it. They should just do a whole show with her trying to manage those kids of terror.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking if Joe gets deported, which we'll talk about in a second, that's where you end the show, because there's nothing left. In my opinion, that's the way you end it.
Yeah.
Because I followed that family for years. I don't really care about any of the others.
But I liked it when Carolyn was on, because she's the mob, man. She's a mobster. She makes people, she and her husband and their quote restaurant, people are disappearing. I'm on to them. I don't know if did you figure this out, Grant? She is, she's like a mob. She's a daughter of like a mobster.
Yes. Which she refuses to talk about.
Yeah.
But yet the mob wives are on there for season after season bragging about
it. She isn't on the mob wives. Yeah. But they're running things. But there's some about her. And I was like, oh, you know, when people talked back to her, I was like, oh, no, you're going to disappear.
Well, the article goes on to say that these two men were hurling insults, and it was about a beef between the two wives. Apparently, they had a falling out. So why these two men had to get involved in Real Housewives drama?
I don't know what, Margaret's contractor that she had an affair with? Gross. I think that's the grossest story. I cannot give her kudos. She's like, I was married, then I had an affair, and it's like, I don't know if I would be on public television talking about that.
Well, I give her credit for saying it, because if not, it would come out and then she'd look like a liar.
Whatever. I'm going to try and be the moral police. And have I done everything correctly in my life? Maybe. But I'll just tell you right now, it's like, I didn't like her with that right away. I was already checked out. Pigtails with the pigtail mother.
Yeah, no one's feeling those pigtails. She's still on Instagram today. She was in a caftan and these big, long pigtails running around.
I just don't think I've ever seen her look like not a Muppet. She looks like a Muppet.
It's definitely a signature look. I'll give her that.
Well, good for her.
This article also says that there's plenty of alcohol flowing at the event because producers wanted to stir up drama after a slow season. Again, this show has run its course. Another
slow season for like 4 years.
Yeah.
It took a lot. I didn't even finish this season. And I don't know what I don't know what stopped me. I think it was like So You Think You Can Dance came on. But something stopped me in my tracks. And I just got kind of bored and sick of it. And I'm sick of Siggy. And I know she's a Leo. And I get it. That's a fellow Leo sister. But I was just like, what is this drama? Like, it wasn't even exciting. There's nothing really good. You know what was good? The Real Housewives of Miami, where they had that mother that looked like Cuban Jabba the Hutt with all the bad plastic surgery.
The candle, I used to refer to her as, yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, Mama Elsa.
She was so. My face is falling. What, Mom? My face is melting off. Like she was. You couldn't turn your head away. That was gold. What happened?
People
Why is
still
Miami
want that
gone?
Back,
that one was good.
Yeah,
Melbourne. Have you seen the Melbourne one?
A little
one?
Bit. Those
they're the mean. They're the meanest.
Oh, they're awful.
They're all
nuts.
Mean as they are mean.
That was like the Auckland one. If you saw Auckland, but that was they were real rough on each other.
Yeah.
But what else can we say about this stupid topic? Rumors are flying that Joe Giudice is being deported, but the lawyer that we saw in Teresa Checks In, do you remember that guy? He was a real character.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says that there's no truth to it and that no decision has been made on his immigration status. And he's still sitting in jail until 2019, so...
You're not getting deported. They're too busy like holding children in cages right now. Like I don't think they're worried about Joe Giudice, Giudici, Gugatki, whatever his name is. No one cares about that guy.
The thing is,
I don't think she even cares about that guy.
they love Trump. They voted for Trump, but I don't think they even realize his stance on these immigration statuses.
They're so dumb. Well, Teresa's she's like dumb as a box of rocks. In fact, she's got any book that she could put words together, and she's got that who was that from the Monsters? Eddie Munster. She's got that Widow's Peak. I can't.
The hairline.
Like, something. Somebody. Hairline. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Instead of like embezzling or cheating, this, couldn't you have like spend some money on getting rid of that weird Widow's Peak? She looks nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. The hairline should have been addressed season two. But you know, when they go on season one, they look a little rough. They've got nothing
she's
done.
Got those crazy brows. And you know, now she's bodybuilding.
Yeah. We talked about it on this show.
Listen. You know what, Teresa? It's already been done. Real Housewives of Orange County.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Right, yeah.
But I'm over them. I'm done. It jumped the shark.
How do you feel about Cher? She has a new upcoming Broadway show based on her life.
Well, you know, I've got a gay man trapped in this body. Who doesn't love me? I love Cher. I think Cher is great. I've paid good money to see her at Caesar's Palace. And I don't think she sang one full song through. Honestly, I can't believe it. I sat through videos of Cher. When Cher was in the house, Cher didn't even present herself. It was videos of Cher. And at the end, she'll come out, she'll tell a few jokes. And then she'll sing like a chorus from like Gypsy, Tramps, and Thieves. And then she leaves and changes into another Bob Mackie outfit. And you're like, what's happening? Did I just not drop $250 for what? And then at the end, she comes out and she fully sings. The only song she sings incomplete, sings it completely is, you know, Do You Believe in Love? And then Gay Acrobats and all the queens were happy. And confetti's coming from the ceiling. But Cher's great. She's a character. Her tweets are crazier than batshit. The batshit crazy.
They're all like in code. There are all these emojis
crazy.
That are supposed
it's
to
so
equal
funny.
Things.
So funny. If you've never seen, my friend Nadia Ginsberg does the best Cher impersonation. And she does a whole show where she will impersonate Cher reading her own tweets. And it's
I
want to
see that because I love following her. She's one of my top five favorites.
It's so funny. Like my Brazilian husband who doesn't like, you know, I mean, he doesn't really like stick to gay icons, but let me tell you, as soon as he saw her show and those tweets and how crazy it was, he started following her. And my husband and I always, we love to go, it's me, Cher. Anytime she's on anything, we just love to say, it's me, Cher.
She's 72 and still going.
She looks
still
great.
Going. She does.
God bless her. She's in it to win it.
I love how honest she is. This
I love
show.
She's still, she's never, what, didn't she have her like final tour? Like never, like she announced that her final, I'm going on my final tour.
Farewell
this is
tour.
My farewell final tour.
Yeah.
And that was what, for like 10 years, she was farewell, goodbye.
I remember
oh, look,
this.
I'm here. Now I've got a season stay at Caesars. I have a residence. 5 more years, you know?
She's not going anywhere.
Never.
This one, what else? This one, she said that the show needs work. I like that she's so honest. She says, I need work. I'm not supposed to say that, but I don't care. I like it. That's something I would do.
At least she didn't say my face needs more work because it's all been done.
Yeah, there's nothing left to do. Maybe the earlobes. Maybe that's the one thing left that she hasn't thought of.
She's trying to put that booty in. She's still got it, though. She looks great.
Yeah, I enjoy her. I don't know if I'm going to run to see this show or anything. But if the reviews are good, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not like a massive fan of hers. I mean, you know, I get a kick
out of her.
Smarter
to go on Broadway with her life. You know how many queens have already bought a ticket for that and hasn't even gone on sale?
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be like people cutting each other for that.
Yeah, that's true. She says that the show needs work, and not so much in the performances. She's very impressed with those. It's with the script. She wants more, quote, real quotes, unquote, from her. She can tell, I guess, if something isn't like word
but
for word.
Isn't it her story? So give them the real quote, Cher.
Yeah.
Isn't it based on our life?
I'm sure the guy did his research and is probably like,
but like,
this is what
don't you
said.
Know what you said?
Yeah. He's probably like sending her like YouTube or like old Vimeo clips of her like,
she doesn't
you know?
Remember.
Yeah.
She's had her face pulled back a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe the memory's foggy.
Maybe.
She's a great actress.
Yeah.
So, you know, not only can she sing, is she fun? Is she a gay icon? She's entertaining. So God bless. I mean, I hope it's, she puts a little bit more into that than she did in her Vegas show. It's like, I'm going to come out and tell one joke, sing half a note, and then I'm going to change outfits.
Yeah, real quick. This one, though, she does seem like she's involved. She, it's just, this article, at least we're led to believe that she has a lot of input.
It's her life story. Wouldn't it be weird? She's like, and now I'm bringing out Bette Midler to play me.
Now, at the end of this whole thing, she just admits she's very critical. So I'm like, yeah, I got that. I don't know. I'm going to look out for this show. I don't know when it's going to be done. I mean, it says it's not really in a good place, so who knows when to expect it.
Well, don't worry. It's not going to be done like her farewell tour is never going to be done.
I'm sure gay Twitter will let us know.
Yes. We'll know. It's going to be the gay cry heard around the world. They can't wait for her to get into the Broadway show.
It's about time. You know, what have you been doing, even on a 10-year farewell tour? I guess what she's been doing. So, Well, when we come back, we're going to be talking about women in comedy. I want to talk to Sean all about that and about her upcoming projects and what it is to be a comedian here in L.A. That and more in a moment. Now this.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Subscribe and spread the word.
There are a lot more rants to come.
Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with the very funny Sean Pawlowski on the rants. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you, Grant.
I'm enjoying chatting with you. We had a nice little chat on the break.
We did.
I want to talk to you about Kathy Griffin. She's back in the public eye, Radio City Music Hall. She was there this week, and it was good optics for her to be back in that space. However, I listened to her on Howard Stern, and she said that she bought the place, and then people would buy tickets. Is that a common thing, or have you heard of that before, of buying the venue out?
I don't know. I mean, when you get a big theater, you pay money to have that theater. You don't just get it for free. Okay. I don't know if but again, I'm not as...
Oh, that's probably what it was.
...of a big name. Do you know what I mean? I think when you get this Staples Center and you're Drake, don't you put something down for that? They don't just hand you the Staples Center and hope that you make some money.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I'm sure she had to pay something to get... They're not going to just... Radio City Music Hall is going to hand Kathy Griffin.
I thought she was like buying like up all the seats and then just say like five.
I think she had to pay to have the theater. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then there's a fee for that, and there's probably some fee with ticket sales. I don't know what kind of deal that she worked out, but I can't imagine anyone just walks in and gets something for free.
Right. I never thought about that, but it makes sense. I mean, to bring it down to my little level, I'm paying for the theater space that my show is being hosted at. So I guess that's the difference.
And then you have to deal with insurance. They're not going to just hand a theater to anybody. I mean, how does Radio City Music Hall make their money?
Yeah. Well, my friend Chris, who's been on the show a couple of times, him and his boyfriend went, and they said it was about half full. But you know, that's a big space.
I looked on Twitter. It looked like it was all full. It looked like a huge space. I was in Radio City Music Hall when I was a child, which was, you know, just about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't remember it being that big, but
I went
really
for that.
Big on Twitter. How many seats would you say that seats?
I'd have to look it up. I unfortunately went to that Christmas spectacular last December, and I remember it being quite big. So
wait, let's rewind. That Christmas,
it's the Christmas show they do every year.
Oh, look at you.
You know, and I was like, oh, I was going to go to a show, but I said, well, I haven't seen this show. I think I was like 8 when I went. So I said, maybe I should go. It'll help me get in the Christmas mood. I think I told the story. No, there was a woman taking off the coat, putting on the coat in front of me. Then this other one next to me eating, the other one on the phone. It was horrible.
There's no Christmas mood in New York. Don't you know that?
Well, I think it can be kind of nice. Oh, okay.
I don't know.
City Music Hall capacity, 6,015 seats.
That's a lot of seats.
So even if it was halfway 6, full.
6,000 seats, Radio City Music Hall? God, I always put that for like 1,000 or something smaller. God, I must not, I don't have a good memory.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it says.
So 6,000 seats. Okay.
What is this? Then it says capacity 5,960. Look, I don't know. Round up. We're saying six.
Still a lot.
So we're saying six.
Because she was just doing her tour. She could only do it out of the country. When everything went down with the whole Trump head, she was only touring outside of the country because it was other countries that hated Trump, and she was like banned from, you know, she was just shunned for doing what she did. So she was smart enough to figure, how do I make my money? I have a loyal gay fan base, but where are they? I can't do it inside the States because people are mad that I did what I did. Okay, I'll go to Sweden. Okay, I'll go to Canada. Okay, I'll go to Germany. And that's what she did.
Yeah. You have to do. And I, you know, I'm glad that she made it work for herself. And I knew that the minute she made money again, somebody would put her in something and all that. But I, it seems to me like she's still staying out of like the fray.
She's a loyal following. Listen, if Mel Gibson, that piece of anti-Semite, racist man, misogynistic, can get back into
the front the row game, of
right,
the Oscars
and whatnot. Yeah. How come she couldn't work her way back in? I mean, at least she's a comedian. She did out of the fodder. She thought what was being funny. I mean, how does this monster come back in? It's like all is forgiven.
Yeah.
Are you,
oh, yeah.
Kidding
overnight.
Me? I didn't forget what he did. I didn't forget who he was.
No. Yeah. Deborah Messing was supposed to be in the audience. Apparently, my friend told me this. And Bette Midler attended a show that she did the night previous at Carnegie Hall. So still, I wanted to know if she had anyone that came out to support her, any public figures. This is according to him. So
why he's saying Bette Midler went to see Kathy Griffin?
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Really?
I don't know. I saw her thank Bette Midler the other day, but Bette's pretty particular. She's I've met her once. She's my idol. I scared the living shit out of her. But
what'd
God
you do?
Bless her. Oh my God. I was, when I graduated college, I was in this off Broadway show out here in LA. There's such a thing as off Broadway in Los Angeles. But this show was popular in New York. It was called Dressing Room Divas. And it was about like five divas trapped in a dressing room. And it was like Meryl Streep, Liz Taylor, Joan Collins, Julie Andrews and Bette Midler. And I played the Bette Midler role. And so this was like a week before we were premiering. My friend was the assistant for John Goodman. And it was when they premiered Gypsy for TV, where Bette Midler played Mama Rose. So John Goodman couldn't go to the premiere. So my friend went and she brought me instead. And so at the after party, I saw Bette Midler. I knew it was my moment. I rehearsed what I was going to say. I was just like rehearsing. And there was all these, you know, queens kind of standing next to me snickering. And she was kind of holding court with like four people. And she's real tiny in person. And I just was like, you know, standing there practicing. And I said to myself, you know, I mean, my God, I was 21. And I was like, you know what, Sean, if you don't say something to her now, she'll never know who you are, and she'll never know you, and you'll never know her. And so kind of something kind of went off that said, okay. And in the middle of her conversation, her back was to me, and she's holding court with four people she knew. I reached over, like, and I can remember this like it was yesterday, in slow motion, and I tapped her on the back of her shoulder, and she turned around. It was kind of, you know, she's not like she is what you see on TV. She's kind of a timid person. And she's tiny, and I'm short, and she was really, I'm like 5'1", and she was like 4'11". She looked up at me, and she's kind of like startled. And I said, excuse me, Miss Midler, my name is Sean Polofsky. Okay, Sean, why would I say, who cares? She doesn't care, but this was my spiel. And I just want to tell you, your performance tonight was absolutely breathtaking. And so she's listening, and everyone's kind of like shocked that I interrupted a conversation. And then something just didn't go right in my head. It was like kind of a time bomb that was ticking, and it was like tick, 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 boom. And it went off, and suddenly the decibels changed. The tone of my voice got louder, more aggressive. And I realized I was talking to Bette Midler, and I just went into a deep seat, like panic. And I said, and in my eyes, you're a god. And like I literally like almost ate Bette Midler. And you could just see like security stepping in, like young Jewish girl stalking Bette Midler. Like, and she started shrinking like one of those mermaid people in The Little Mermaid. Like she just started to, like, yeah. I was so overbearing. And I said, in my eyes, you're a god. And then you heard like gay gasps behind me.
Yeah,
and you're like, and then it got really quiet. And she goes, goddess, honey, goddess. And she turned back around and handled her shit. And I walked away crying. I was so mortified. Like, I ate Bette Midler. I scared the shit out of her. I can't be the first person. I know I'm not, because I'm friends with Bruce Valanche. She used to write for her. And he told me all these crazy stories. He goes, well, I'm definitely going to keep you away from her. But, and he goes, but you're not the first. And but I feel like she knows, like, I was a crazy person.
But what a great story, though.
Oh, God. Goddess, honey. She's the best.
Wow.
She took it well. She could have me thrown out. She could have. And she's kind of a perfectionist. She's one of those people that supposedly are very tough, you know?
I've heard that about her.
I heard she comes into Universal Studios. She has a white glove, and she checks her dressing room. That's what I'd heard from security. And I hear things like that. I'm like, you know what? No one's ever going to, like, make me feel any different about her than, like, she is the second coming. She's the entertainer of all entertainers, and there's no one better than her.
Isn't that the worst, though, when you have that moment and you're like, I gotta do this now, and it just doesn't match with everything. Like you said,
train.
You rehearsed
crazy
it.
Crazy train. I was crazy. I looked like a maniac. I looked like a maniac, but she handled it like a champ, so God bless her.
Wow, what a story. Yeah, I love that you shared that. I want to talk to you about your traveling. You've gone, like you said, we talked about this before the show, but you've gone overseas to perform.
Mm-hmm.
What nowadays, do you make it political? What do you talk about? I mean, it's such an odd environment we're
in. Well, to be honest, as far as like, you mean entertaining military?
Entertaining the military,
zones?
Yes.
I haven't done that in a while. You know, when I started going to Afghanistan and war zones, I was the first female comic to go over to Afghanistan. But it was a time when I was single. Well, you know what I mean? You had to do what you had to do to meet the right person. It's hard in LA. But
you had to go to war zones?
Oh, yeah. Come on. I was like, whatever. You know, listen.
I'm with you. Seriously.
The odds for me, did they outnumber me. And it was my game. It was my time to shine. So I went there because I didn't have kids or a husband. And if something was to happen to me, it would just happen to me. And sure, my parents and my siblings and whatever would have to deal with that, but I didn't have the responsibilities to others. And so at that time, you know, I would go, and I haven't gone in probably about like 7-8 years, but you know, when you're over there, and at the time I was there, it was like Bush, Clinton, a little bit of Obama, but you're not allowed to talk about the president. And at the time, when I went to Afghanistan, this was like, don't ask, don't tell. So you don't talk about, you know, I couldn't be like what would work on the all gay male cruises. It's not what I'm going to do in a room full of military.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, you have to pick your battles and decide what you're going to talk about. And I think joking about their environment, you know, military life, their mess halls, and then you kind of pit them all against each other, the Army against the Navy, against the Air Force, against the Marines. And then you find the highest ranking officer. And because I can, because I'm not an officer, and then you roast them and you do what's going to make them happy for that moment. Mm-hmm. You really have to be aware of your environment. And I think that's what they enjoyed the most, is that you ball bust and you notice what they're going through. And that you can find comedy in that.
Is it more challenging for you to come up with a set like that? Or is it just another route that you take?
I think every set's challenging. Yeah. I don't always sit down and prepare what I'm going to say. But for something like that, if there's something I've noticed about the base or their military store, this or that, or what they're serving in the mess hall, I'm going to talk about it and I'm going to write it down, and I'm going to make sure that, you know, stuff that I'm creating just for them, I will like put that in order and just at least try to hopefully have that to remember to say all that stuff when I'm there. And then there's the moment where, you know, you just talk individually to the soldiers and you can roast them and work off your feet.
Makes sense. So do you have any plans to do anything like that again?
I mean, I'd love to. I turned to my husband. Yeah. I said, oh, you know, when the whole thing with Syria happened, I said, can I go? And he was like, no way. You know, I don't want you to go. And I get it. I get it. But once you do it, it's kind of like an addiction. It's kind of a high.
Right.
You know, you're in Blackhawks and, I mean,
it's very admirable that you would put yourself in that position.
It was crazy. But I loved it. I'd do it again and again. I just love doing that for my country. I love doing it for the men and women that are brave to be out there and fighting the fight. And once you go over there and you see this, you're never the same again. And that's why, I mean, people wonder about, you know, PTSD. And, oh, my God, you're just there to boost morale. And not only just to perform, but to listen to their stories. This is it. You're that person to bring them some light.
I admire you bringing your skill set, what you can bring those people, and you go there and you do it and you give it that to them. You know, that's what you can give them. And I appreciate that. That's great.
I just, you know what? I feel like there's just kind of nothing more rewarding than giving back to other human beings. And I'll say it again. I watch what goes on with this world and it makes me crazy. People are crying about somebody shooting a lion in Africa. I'm like, we've got people on the street that are homeless, like that you could just walk over and you don't care about, but you're worried about, you know, Leo the lion. I'm sorry. I can't get on board with that. I just never will. I value human beings. I care about how people are and I want people to be happy.
Yeah.
And that's my job, is to come up there and boost morale.
To your point, you mentioned the homelessness. If is it just me, or is there more than ever with these tent cities?
55,000 something homeless in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I read an article recently today.
It went up like this year. I think they increased by 11,000 more homeless people than before. It's an epidemic. It's sad.
It's very sad, and it's more and more and more common. I mean, you can't turn around to another street now and not see something happening or
nobody's caring. You know, like I'm sure they're saying our economy's getting better, but California's just getting more expensive. I mean,
well, that's the problem.
Los Angeles is becoming San Francisco.
Yeah, the income inequality is the problem.
Terrible homeless problem.
Yeah,
terrible. It's just sad.
Well, let's talk about something that isn't sad. I want to talk to you about...
Isn't she hilarious?
Your first one-hour comedy special. Tell me about this one-hour comedy special. This is an accomplishment. Coming out August 21st.
This is. I'm very excited. My first... I've done comedy special for Showtime, but I never did a one-hour comedy special. And shot it myself, put all the money, did everything for it.
That's the way to go.
And then we just shopped it around. And Comedy Dynamics, which is a distributor, picked it up. And it'll be, I think, available probably like a month before you can pre-purchase it. I don't have that date yet. But it comes out August 21st. And you can get it probably on iTunes. It'll be on demand, the Reverie channel. Amazon, and then it'll be on, you know, it'll be an album on Sirius, and you can get it on iTunes as well. So you'll hear my bits and pieces on the Comedy Channel. It just is a long time coming, and sometimes you just got to do things yourself and put it out there. And it was shot professionally, and it was at a theater downtown, and it just, I'm really happy how it came out.
And that's fantastic.
It kind of showcases what I do.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how long has this been in the making? I mean, clearly
a ton
of work.
2 years ago, but it was so much work to edit, to do, and then things fall apart. You know, it's like people you rely on. And again, I'm new to this. And it was, you know, editing, and then you got to find someone who will pick it up, and you try and you go shop it. And then once, you know, I mean, it's like 8 months ago, I found people to pick it up, but it just to do the deliverables, and then you got to get insurance. It's this whole process that it's not something they teach you in drama class.
No.
And I could sit down with people like, you want to shoot your own special? Let me tell you what this is going to entail.
Just be
ready. But I just, everything I've ever done with my career, I've done myself. And that's the advice I would give to anybody going into comedy or in acting. It's like you're your best agent, you're your best manager, for every role, everything I've ever gotten on TV, film, I got myself.
Yep. No one's going to work harder than you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to. It's anybody's game now, especially with YouTube. Yep. It's like Joe Schmo could be somebody in their house. And it's like what people consider talent today, and they haven't put the hard time or the work in.
Please.
God bless. Like, good for everyone that there's that opportunity and that there are different ways to become, you know, to become popular. But you just, you know, everything is a, it was definitely like a work of, what's it, the work of labor?
Labor of love. Yeah.
It definitely was.
Well, after learning all that and now being a content producer over on Funny You Should Ask, I mean, it's like you're kind of got this new side gig going.
Yeah, it was something that kind of fell into my lap. I got called in to, you know, submit a joke packet for a trivia game show called Funny You Should Ask. And it's a Byron Allen show that runs 5 nights a week. I think in California, it's on a KCAL 9 at like 12, the convenient hour of 12:30 a.m. But locally, you have to check your channels. And it also runs on comedy.tv all the time. But it's basically like a it's like a Hollywood Squares, but instead it's just a panel of 6 comics. So
I've seen some
funny trivia questions and answers. And so we write all the all the trivia and all the one-liners that the comedians say. Unfortunately, I hate to ruin that, but you know, everyone thinks it's like, oh, it's Howie Mandel. And he came, you know, and he's so witty. He's so, there's so many comedians like Louis Anderson. People are so funny on their feet. But for like the one joke that comes out of their mouth after the trivia question, that's ours.
Wow. Yeah. The magic of TV you know, I mean, because how is it for you to be on the other side of that and not being the one there?
I first got brought on, I was like coming home crying, going, I don't want to be on the other side. I want to, you know, I've always been in front of the camera, but I was working with a team of 25 comics that I knew, and it start, and it just, we became a family. And when I got promoted to producer, I just, it was fun running a group of writers that are my peers, and I respect everybody and what they were submitting, because we've all been in the trenches of this, and we all put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into those one-liners. It's not easy, you know, and you start to think you run out of trivia, because our trivia has to have some type of setup. It can't be Jeopardy.
Right.
Jeopardy has no setup. You can't run out of trivia on Jeopardy. There's no setup. But for this show, it has to have a funny setup. And if you don't have something to set you up for the joke, it's not going to work.
Yeah. I can relate to you in the aspect of now being behind the camera and, you know, with me with this podcast, and I've always been a lead host on these shows. And now in my current position, I've been producing these shows. I'm not on them. And it's difficult, especially when you know you need certain content and certain things to be expressed and stuff like that. But I've really been blessed to have the responsibility of such, how can I say, like big shows. I'm covering, you know, good brands around NBC content in prime time and managing a small team. And so I can relate to that. Like there's the value in that and it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, and the opportunity is also producing talent, like working with my friend I started with, Sherry Shepherd from The View. I mean, she's fantastic.
We talk about Sherry on this podcast.
Huh?
We talk about Sherry on this podcast.
I love Sherry. You know what? She's a professional, consummate professional. So funny. And she's good at acting. She's good at delivering her lines. She's great at comedy. And she's easy to work with. And then there's those people you're like, oh my God, this person's a complete, you're just shocked. Because they seem like so likable on TV. And you're like, what a nightmare. Another fun person to work with, Jack A. You know, it's like, I love doing Jack A.
I don't see enough of her these days.
Oh, is she funny? I mean, she's always like, oh, hush up. And I was like, okay, your joke is my Spanx. And we always had a great time together.
That's great. Well, if you guys are in LA, you have to check out Shawn over at her weekly spot at the world famous comedy store.
Oh, I know. It's the best club.
And she just came from there right before coming on the Rants.
No, there was an excellent audience. They rushed the stage. I body surfed. There were pyrotechnics after the show. I'm so popular.
And then you came to Studio G in a hot apartment to sit across from me and talk about the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
This is an honor. And anyone who will discuss Cher in the same sentence as Teresa Giudice, 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 whatever her name is, you're a friend of mine. I love it.
Oh, God bless. And that is the Rants. I mean, really, that we're all over the place on this show. It's like a grab bag of Page Six, Bravo Daily Dish, just a good mess of things that I feel are interesting.
I love it. Feel like, yeah, I mean, it's one good rant and then we'll just meditate after this. And
oh, I'm with you. I'm all for a good meditation.
I'm lying. I don't meditate.
I did today.
It's the only thing that keeps me going. Grant, do it for me.
It's the only thing that keeps me going. Well, thank you for coming in and doing the rants. What a great show this was. I knew it would be. I looked forward to it all day. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Grant. I'm going to go get some Botox at the end of my nose.
The end of the nose?
Yeah.
Good for you. Well, I want to make a quick programming announcement for this show that while this is episode number 99, we will have the 100th episode available next week. And then I'm going to be taking a brief summer hiatus because I got some work travels, some personal travel, and I just got to float in my pool for just a few days. And then I'll be back with the rants. And when we come back, we'll be ready to celebrate 3 years of doing Grant's Rants. Crazy. So check out the show. Keep supporting us. And I'll pop up on other podcasts in between. But I do need a little bit of a break, just letting everyone know. And until then, we'll be back with more rants when we go to the 100th live episode. We're going to have three comedians, Justin Martindale, Madonna Refugia, and Katie Foley will be on the stage. And, of course, I have my own rants, so get ready. It's going to be good. Shawn, thank you again for doing the rants.
Thank you, Grant. You're adorable.
Thank you. And we'll be back. I love you for listening.
This has been Grant's Rants. Support the Rants on Patreon. Follow us on Twitter at It's Grant's Rants. Cover art created by Howie Rone. Voiceover by Aw Yeah. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen. The Grant Michael Collection.